Welcome, 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 born intelligent, rising to heal, rise and shine, tap into your inner genius and rise, especially if you need to heal from mental trauma or experiences from the past that did not serve you for many, many years. This is the time to tap in. Welcome to my podcast. I've been away for a while. I've been booked and busy, but I'm here today. Today is March 3rd, 2024. It is 6:45 in the evening where I'm at. I am happy to get on just to tap in with the people, let you all know what's upcoming for myself, and I'm very excited. It's a lot of work, the things that I'm trying to do. Sometimes you're not sure about the things that you're trying to do. You're not confident, really. You don't have the confidence at times to where you think that things will work for you. But I'm going to keep working at it and we'll see what happens. That's the whole meaning of faith. You have to have faith in what you're doing. So again, welcome to my podcast where we speak about solutions that we can come to maintain or not to maintain, but to navigate on our mental health and our mental well-being so we won't have mental illness. So this is a platform where we speak about those things that will help us to come into healthier mentalities, because that's what mental health is at the end of the day, right? It's just not about being prescribed medicine from your care providers. It's not just being complacent. It's about doing the work. Doing your work, knowing where the problem stems from or where it stemmed from. And sometimes, most of the time, I can say that the mental health challenge, right? It's not what we think it is. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were speaking about getting over trauma. She was just explaining to me, where do she go from here, from where she is in her mental state? And I thought about genealogy, right? Because if we don't know where we're from, if you don't know where you're from, to where you can trace back your lineage, you can just know it's only so many generations that we can go back. A couple of episodes I spoke about favor that God, the Creator, the Most High, gives us is that from my generation I was favored to know three grandmothers, one grandmother and two great grandmothers, I believe. Or maybe even three. And then I knew my grandfather and I knew my great grandfather, and I actually knew my great uncle, my grandmother's brother. And I was just explaining, these days that's very rare. It's rare, you know. And if the you know, my children's generation knows their grandparents, their great-great-grandparents, you know, these days it's like the grandmothers they're more into the life per se, you know. Not my children's grandmother, not my mom, I'm just generally speaking, 9 times out of 10 that's what it is. The mothers, the grandmothers don't play grandmother roles, some of them, unfortunately. But I just think that genealogy is very important, because I think that it gives us clarity when we think about epigenetics, what was passed down to us, you know, not just in the diet. And when I say the diet, it's not so much inheriting like a health problem. Naturally, you're gonna eat or consume those same things that you saw your family consuming. You know, if your grandmother cooked greens a lot with pork in them, you know, you're gonna be accustomed to doing that with, you know, cooking those same foods with your family. So, this thing about mental health, we want to change or influence each other to have healthier mentalities. And I think that comes with changing your lifestyle. It's a whole lifestyle change. And like, I want to become vegan. I can't get rid of that bacon and that coffee though. That beef bacon. Lord have mercy, that's so good with coffee. It's so good. And I get it's fresh, it's halal or it's kosher. It comes from a market that has organically grown food. It's not the farmer's market, but the meat is fresh. But I think I can do it once I you know, get a hold to some vegan meals. I think that I'm kind of intimidated. I don't want to, you know, do anything wrong. For example, I really want to do some vegan fried chicken. And I saw how to do it. It looks very easy. It's just like frying chicken, except you use mushrooms. It's all kind of different mushrooms that are substituted for meat. And the vegan fried chicken, you do that with oyster mushrooms. It's very expensive. The mushrooms is expensive because I saw them. I saw the price. But for some reason, I just think I'm gonna get something wrong if I try to make it. So I'm not there yet. In addition to other vegan meals, you know, so it's many vegans out there that cooks very good. I've seen it on television. I saw it on YouTube. It's just that something, when you're not used to something or you're not used to doing something, you know, it's kind of intimidating at first. But I'm gonna try it and I will share on the podcast how it was for me. I know the ingredients, I know what to get in order to make the vegan fried chicken. Anyway, so I was speaking about genealogy and the diets that our ancestors used to have. You know, the greens, the fried chicken, the high sugar with, you know, sweets. Like I wrote in my book about my great grandmother. When I walked into her home, in her house, I mean, it was like walking into Merritt Bakery. If you're from Oakland, you know about Merritt Bakery. And it just smells so good. She had all of these cakes and pies in the cabinet, in her, like it was like a dresser drawer, but it was one of those medium kind that went on the wall, and it goes like it takes up the whole wall. And she had these beautiful cake pans, the glass ones though, that you put the cake in and you see the tops on it, and she know when you went in there because she was like the bomb with those. And so, in other words, in my family, my dad, for instance, he has to have something sweet. My mom has to have something sweet. That's what I mean about the not the inheriting part, but the lifestyle. We do what we saw or see that our parents do. That's just how it is. So it's just about changing the mentality to a healthier mentality in our way we think and the way we eat, and also in our lifestyles. To go vegan, I know I need to be in a better environment. I need to, be in a better environment to where I can be free to go in my own kitchen and cook what I want, right? My living situation is not conducive to being what a vegan will entail, you know. So, but I think it's coming. It's coming, God willing, to where I can be able to really go vegan. And what is that? I'm sitting in my car and there's a light behind me. Someone in a car. I don't like that. Anyway, so that's that with the vegan. So it's changing your lifestyle, changing your environment to where I can be comfortable to be vegan, right? The food is more expensive. It's a little more expensive than the regular food. So yeah, once those three things, I accomplish that, then I think I'm ready to go full-fledged vegan. If we learn our genealogy, we know where we came from, I think that will kind of give us this closure of how to deal with our mental health better. I really do believe that. Even in when I was writing the chapter, when I speak about my ancestors, it was such a wonderful feeling as I was writing it, you know, just getting it out, speaking about those experiences, being in the presence of my grandmother, my great-grandmother, the good things, you know, that I saw them do, you know, just the love of being around family. And one of my aunts, actually the oldest sister in family, my mom has 9 sisters, she just shared that my great-grandmother, my maternal great-grandmother, she was married to a white man, and I didn't know that. Either she was married to a white man or her mother was married to a white man. But yeah, she was 90. Let's see, how old was Nanny? We call her Nanny. Nanny was like 98 years old when she passed away. And that was in the mid-80s. And some of us think that she probably was 100 years old. Yeah, I don't think back in those times. Because I'm sure she was born on the plantation. I don't know if she was a slave, but her mother and her father definitely were slaves. I think she may have been born in the sharecropping days, in those times. I'm not sure. See, all of these things is important to know because it gives clarity to our experience in America, on this soil of America. We need to dig deep. We need to dig deeper into our ancestry. I think it's so, so important. I think it needs to be in the schools. You know, it needs to be taught to our children so they can know where they came from. And I think that this conversation will eliminate what will become mental illness in our babies. I just do. I think that it needs to be a curriculum around ancestry. I think that there should be, you know, field trips taken to museums where our history is spoken about. And I'm not speaking about just post-slavery. I'm speaking about pre-slavery, who we were before slavery, before the Atlantic trade. The Atlantic trade, chattel slavery, right before that, who we were, give us a sense of confidence in, you know, teaching the truth about who we were. This is how we preserve our history. This is how we preserve our history. So yes, that genealogy is very, very, very important. So I wanted to make another point. For the first time, I'm watching a documentary, What the Health? And I mean, I'm not done watching it. I'm going to go watch the rest after this podcast. But from what I've seen thus far, oh my God, what the government is allowing to happen to the farms, the animals, it's disgusting. It's very disgusting. I couldn't believe it. I can imagine what I'm in for when I go watch the rest, because it's absolutely pitiful and disgusting, and it's a crime, and people still eat this stuff. I can't believe people still eat McDonald's. There's so many of them, you know, everywhere. It's so many McDonald's, especially in Texas. From what I know, being in any other major cities or states, but it's so many McDonald's out here. And what I do know for a fact is that I'm done with chicken, especially chicken. They put this sodium salt in, they shoot it with this chemical, and the chemical has to do with sodium and salt to make the chicken get bigger. And people actually eat this. I can't stand chicken no more. I didn't even eat it a lot prior to me, you know, watching the movie, the documentary. But it's nasty. It is. I'm not a poultry eater. I don't even trust fish. They do fish. They have fish farms. What the hell? I mean, in these fish farms, there is this water that is contaminated that they keep the fish in. It's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, so today, I said all that to say to just get started. So as I spoke about my book, Surviving Oakland, A Journey into Finding My Truth, A Reflective Journey into Finding My Truth, I was going to share some of their writings in here because I think it's important. And if you want this book, you can simply order off Amazon or send me an email or a message, and I will get this book to you. It's only $20. But I did want to share because this book is my baby, my first book, and it really revolves around a conversation about mental health. Although I don't, you know, exclusively say mental health, but that's what it boils down to. And it's my personal journey growing up in Oakland, as you all may know. And I tell my sister, you know, both of us, because she's been through a lot. We could have been on crack from what we've been through. Lord have mercy. But, yeah, I'm dropping the phone. My bad. Okay, so this is on chapter 63. And I'm going to just read to the beginning of 64. And this is still chapter 9, Low Self-Esteem and Social Isolation. This is the first paragraph on page 63. Past influences from her childhood left her in positions of disconnectedness and abandonment because she was not taught to use her voice to discuss what she experienced in a mechanical state of consciousness for others to infringe their ideas of alternative lifestyles. The supervision and parental guidance were usually preoccupied and attentive to other matters. This could be for a few different reasons. Sometimes the circumstances of parents being away from the home due to family obligations causes incidents to occur. Hideous acts of exploitation and manipulation were beneath Amina and socially disruptive. Low vibrations interrupted her function. Amina began paying attention to herself from the inside out. By analyzing this behavior energy and studying herself, the environment became a classroom for her. In the midst of her journey, she had tons of aha moments by discovering that her experiences were necessary for her to come through to use her voice. Amina's desire to attach herself to what made her feel adequate. This long overdue attachment allowed her the freedom to be vulnerable enough to permit herself. Hold on one second. My light just went on. Okay, that's not good. Okay, unfortunately, I have to stop reading right there because my light in my car just went off. Hopefully, it still works. Let me see. Thank you for your patience. I should have did this in the house, but people be ear hustling. Okay, it's on. All right, that's cool. So yeah, I'm gonna stop there. The circumstances is not really allowing me to read everything I wanted to. But yeah, I wanted to share that piece because I am still not connected. I don't feel like I'm connected with the ones who are supposed to be most close to me. I don't know where to go on, you know. I just need to live my truth and stand. But yeah, I don't know where to go from here because I feel like certain people don't even deserve my energy. They don't deserve even an explanation because some people, some of the things that you go through don't even have anything to do with them. So my stance is what point is it to even open up? You know, why would I open up to you? And I don't know what's going on. Why would I open up to you when you don't have anything to do with what I'm going through? This is like really personal. And the things that people go through, it's not taken serious, unfortunately. And it's sad. It's like you go through stuff by yourself. You know, you have to learn how to navigate situations on your own because people, you know, don't understand. I don't know if you all, before this light went out in this car and I was reading, I was saying Amina, which is me, wasn't taught to use her voice. I was very voiceless, and unfortunately it's the same way. I you know, if you're not civil with me to where I'm not in a comfortable space, I'm not in a safe space to share my truth with you, that makes it very hard. It makes it hard to even communicate with others because that safe space is not created. You know, you don't know if they're going to be triggered. If you say something about whatever, something that needs to be said, you don't know if they're ready to hear it or not. You just don't know what's going to happen. So, and then also when you do speak your truth, I mean, is it that they need to hear it? Is that for you to speak your truth to them, whether do they have to agree or do they not, do they have to not agree? So I don't even think it matters. What I think matters is for you, for the person with the quote unquote complaint, needs to just continue to work on themselves, use those techniques that work for you, for your healing, keep doing that. Keep doing what works. And I think that you're going to get better. You're going to get better. You can't do anything but rise to the top. So what I like to do is to just keep elevating. Although it really hurts, you know, it hurts to be disconnected from your loved ones, you know, in a way to where you have to really deal with it because you're living among it. You know, I can see if I was in another environment, I can be like, oh, okay, you know, I ain't got to see it. I don't have to see the hurt and pain. I don't have to even look at it. So what makes it, you know, your continued trauma that you're going through, what makes it even more, more uncomfortable is that you're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of all of these different energies and no one is on the same page. Well, they, you know, other people are, you know, at least what I see, but the only way that I can be on the same page as someone is to just be low vibration in my intellect. You know, it's not to think and to use your mind is not endorsed. You know, nobody want to hear that. You know, we want to kick it. We want to have fun. We want to just ignore the problem. It'll be all right. You'll be all right. You know, what if the person really needs some attention? What if they're suicidal? What if they're thinking about taking their life or, you know, walking in the street, you know, of like cars going on the highway? What if they thinking about walking, you know, in the midst of that just so they can kill themselves? You never know is what the point is. You never know what someone is going through. And I speak about a little bit about this. No, I don't. I'll speak about this in my book. But this is going to be in part two. What happened with me is that I do speak about it a little bit, but I haven't had an epiphany of what I used to do to cover up my trauma, right? I will invite people into my life to, you know, share my life with them, and I didn't know them. I didn't know them like I should have. To even give them the privilege of sharing their space with me, of being intimate with me. And I didn't even know the brothers, you know? I didn't even know them the way that I should have. So what I'm saying is sometimes we can think that, you know, if someone take care of us and women, you know, as in getting married or having a lifelong companion, you know, thinking that they're gonna make your trauma disappear. But what you're doing is what I learned is that I added to my trauma, right? Because this is someone's, you know, I'm sharing my energy with, I'm sharing all of these things with them, but yet deep down inside, I'm still hurting. I'm still hurting from past stuff that I've dealt with, that I've been dealing with. And I'm done doing that. I told the last cat I was going to be with, I told him, you know, I have to focus on my healing. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is to heal. Born intelligent, rising to heal. This is why I started this platform, because I've been dealing with so many things that so many people in the world are, you know, dealing with trauma, mental health, mental illness, psychotherapy, you know, to where they have to take psychotherapy. You know, we all need therapy, and I just think that these situations or these challenges that we have abroad, you know, needs to be a part of a curriculum. It needs to be a part of the school curriculum starting at least at fifth grade. Maybe even third grade. It's that serious. It needs to start from third grade on up. That's why it's a lot of, like today, you find a lot of consultants. Everybody is a consultant or a therapist somehow. You know, it's really weird to me because a lot of these people are not even qualified. They have one aspect of it on, you know, how to, you know, they give you tools to do this and that, but their lives is all messed up as well because of what they've been through. I think that's backwards. How you go be a consultant or you're gonna, you know, give someone therapy when your life is all jacked up as well? It just don't make no sense. Not that your life has to be perfect. I'm speaking from experience. I knew someone, you know, who is a consultant, a therapist or whatever, and their personal life is just all jacked up. So I just think that, you know, we need to work on ourselves before we can help anyone else. So that's very, very important to me. So I wanted to let you all know to stay connected, stay tuned, tune in to, you know, not tune in, but check out my store, my online store, Birth and Manifestation Merch. The website is www.birthmanifestationmerch.com, where you can get some t-shirts, hoodies, and I have a yoga outfit on there, and I also have some sweatpants on my energy, healing energy sweatpants, hats. It's like really, really positive. I want to stress positivity in the way that we speak to each other. I wanted to create a environment to where we can express positivity for others to see. Like if somebody see me rocking my hat, true love is to evolve, and then on the back is evolve in love, they gonna be like, wow, that's pretty nice, you know. And then, you know, I can tell them where to get it, and you can get it from Birth and Manifestation Merch Store.com. What is this? Who is this? Yeah, it's getting weird out here. But I'm about to excuse me, y'all. I'm just trying to see what's going on out here. Somebody just pulled up behind me. Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, so the person that, what was I going to say? Oh, no, somebody ordered some food in the home that I'm staying at. That's what it is. Someone is delivering some food. Anywho, so yeah, you can get, you know, check out my store. Remember, it's www.birthmanifestationmerch.com. You can be able to, you know, see what you like, order it. Also, check out my blog, theverseplace.wordpress.com. I hadn't written anything new on there in a while, but there are many. I have so much content on there that what I've decided to do is to just revise some of the articles and reshare them with others, where they can, you know, read them. Cause if you hadn't been on to my blog, it's new to you. You hadn't seen what I wrote. But I want to, I'm going to do something, around the elements. I did, the earth element and I did the fire element. So I would like to, do something on the water element, and God willing, I'll do that soon. But check my blog out, the first place wordpress.com, and also you can please just continue to support this podcast by tuning in. Please leave a comment. Thank you all. If you have been listening, I see the numbers. It's not growing like I wanted to, but it is eventually growing. It's getting there. It's getting there. So thank you for your support. Continue to support this podcast. Put out a good word. You can even share this podcast with your friends or your family. Also, look out for my new book project. I know I keep saying it, but it's going to come. I just got me a new MacBook. So that's a plus, because what I can do is continue to revise my writing on this book project that I've been working on called Tracking Delusions. But I do believe that I'm going to continue my book project on the children's book on animals called Animal Function. No, it's called Animal Form and Environmental Function. I just really have to be laser focused in editing out what I need to edit out and revising it. And I can do that, to be honest, in an amount of 2 days. And then I have to get an illustrator as well. Maybe I won't have as many pictures because that's a costly thing. But yeah, I'm excited about it. So stay tuned, stay connected. Thank you all for listening, whoever is listening. If you would like to be a co-host or a host, send me an email or send me a message through this podcast, and I will be sure to get right back to you. But for future reference, my email is eye_us@yahoo.com. And you can be able to send me an email. Also, if you would like to get the book Surviving Oakland, let me know in your email. Let me know where you heard me speak this from, whether it was the podcast or the blog. You can, let me know. Leave your name, leave your address, and your zip code. Very, very important. Name, full name, full address, full city and state, zip code, please. And I will get a signed copy out to you. And I do accept Cash App and Zelle. And when you email me, I will respond to you with my Cash App and my Zelle in there. So thank you very much for listening. I want to wish you a peaceful evening, a good day or evening. And I wanted to say something very quickly about language, about a particular word, rather. It's not good to use the word mourning. Mourning comes from, the reason why people say good morning is because when one of the slave family members died or got hung, more than likely got hung by their masters, whipped, whatever, and the wife or the husband will cry, they will, mourn, and then master would say to them, good morning, like, did you have a good morning, like, as opposed to a bad morning. So I don't like the word mourning. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I close out, or even open up rather, with good morning, good evening, or good day, wherever you are in the world. So I'm trying to work on not saying good morning. That's not a good thing to say. It's embedded. I know it's embedded in our mind psychologically because we've been saying it for so long. But my advice is to change that. Switch it up to, like, good day or good rising or grand rising. We don't want to mourn about anything. We're happy. We're motivated. We're evolving. We're in the revolution is the evolution. So we have a revolution, an internal revolution with ourselves. So we're not going to mourn. We're going to progress. We're going to be amazing and we're going to be great. And we're going to reach our highest heights. We're going to keep rising. So on that note, peace and love, peace and light, peace and blessings.